Good morning. Now I can tell everybody's excited to be here. And we're all excited to be in one another's presence. It's great to see everyone here. A warm welcome to everyone. Special welcome to anyone visiting our church today. It's good to have you with us. And it's just great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Now before I hand you over to the capable hands of Sandra, Avery Nixon, do you know of anybody who has a birthday today? Avery's birthday. Happy birthday, Avery. Good for you. Joanne Van Arn, her birthday yesterday. Hey.
Romelda
today. Romelda today. Whoa. This could keep going. It's great to see everyone. It's great to be in the presence of one another. And above all, it's great to be in the presence of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who we worship this day. Today we have the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Love, when we will be shortly lighting the fourth candle of the Advent wreath. In the meantime, I hand you over to Sandra. Thank you.
Good morning. Today following church, we are having our youth group play. So after church, we are having a potluck, and then you're very welcome to attend the play at 1 o'clock. Our Christmas...
Just a minute. On that note, if anybody forgot to bring something for potluck, and you're a little shy about staying, there's also soup there, so nobody has any excuse to leave. There's lots of food for everybody.
Our Christmas Eve carol service... will be at 7 p.m. that night, and it will begin with a short play called Song of Glory.
It will end with the play.
Oh, wait, it will end with the play?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll end with the play. And December 25th, church will be as usual at 10 o'clock. And New Year's Day, January 1st, I'll be leading the service with the worship team, and Ian will be taking a little break from his busy holiday season. Annual reports are due January 8th, so don't forget that deadline, because I think it's a final deadline. In the library, the three librarians went up to Red Deer and bought some new books. The ones that are out already are the children's Christmas books that we bought. So if you're a parent, check that out. Kathy wants to remind you to save your stamps and to just leave a good border of an inch around them so that they can trim them to size themselves. And my final announcement is with Bill Bransma. So I'll ask Bill to come up now.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Iris, could you come and join us for a moment? Iris? Don't be bashful.
She won't want to.
Oh, yeah, start already. You bet. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a beautiful time of the year again, isn't it? Christmas just around the corner, a week to Christmas Day, and all the anticipation of Christmas and all the decorations and all the festivities and times of gatherings, getting together with family and friends, and above all, the opportunity to worship and to get together with Ian and Iris here, just to let them know how much we love them and how much we appreciate them. And we want to wish you both a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And that's extended to your family, to your children, your grandchildren. And we hope that the Lord will bless you into the new year. And please accept this small gift and token of our appreciation.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate you all.
Thanks.
We love you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to both.
I think that's the longest speech Bill has ever made up here. But on behalf of Iris and I, a big thank you. It's our joy and it's our privilege to be part of this church family, and it is an ongoing joy every single day of the year. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We love you all. Thank you very much. And now, where's my notes? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. From the hymn we read, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." And just to confuse you, we stand now and sing to the glory of God, not that hymn, but the hymn, "O Come All Ye Faithful." That was some great singing there. I thought I heard the hint of a heavenly choir in the background. Beautiful. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you have given to each of us this day this beautiful opportunity, this opportunity and this privilege of being able to come together on this your day, in this your house. And we pray, gracious Father, right at the beginning of our time of worship, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that you will speak to each of us, Lord, for we know that you have something to say to every single one of us. We thank you, Father, for the blessings of life, for the love that you continue to pour down upon us. And we pray, gracious Father, that you will accept the praise that we bring this day as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, as we seek to bring honor and glory to his precious name. And we come, Father, in his name, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to invite the Folt family now to come down and to light the fourth candle of Advent. Thank you.
Morning. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the candle of love. Jesus shows us God's perfect love. He is God's perfect love in human form. Those who believe in him and live in him live in love. Love transforms and perfects all things. It never ends. We light this candle today to remind us that God is love. We thank God for the hope he gives us, the peace he bestows, for the joy he pours into our hearts, and for the love that redeems us and shows us the way. Do you want to stay up here and do that?
Yeah. Let us pray. O God of love, Emmanuel, send your light into our hearts at this time. Help us to be ready for the time of Christ's appearing. Grant us that we may so dwell in him that his perfect love fills our entire being. Make our worship a time in which we celebrate your love and are made ready to show that love to the whole world, both today and evermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Candle is burning.
Responsive reading this morning is from St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to save his people. Our God has given us a mighty Savior from the family of David, his servant. God said he would be kind to our people and keep his sacred promise. He told our ancestor Abraham that he would rescue us from our enemies. You, my son, will be called a prophet of God in heaven above. You will go ahead of the Lord to get everything ready for him.
You will tell his people that they can be saved and their sins are forgiven.
God's love and kindness will shine upon us like the sun that rises in the sky. On us who live in the dark shadow of death, this light will shine to guide us into a life of peace.
We now come to that part of the service where we never know what's going to happen next. The celebration of infant baptism. Would those who bring their child for baptism today please come forward? And that includes grandparents as well. Come on, grandparents, come and join us. These people need all the support they can get.
I present Lily Elizabeth Robertson for the sacrament of holy baptism. We read in the Gospel of St. Mark 10, chapters 13 to 16. Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them, and bless them.
In this sacrament of holy baptism, we celebrate God's love, a love revealed in the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a love that has surrounded this child from her beginning. In this sacrament of baptism, we proclaim that God has acted to save this child. He adopts her as a member of his family, incorporating her into the living body of Christ. In this sacrament of baptism, we consecrate her to God's purposes, knowing that even though we may falter, God will not, that he will continue through his Holy Spirit the work begun this day, a work in which life triumphs over death. Parents, I ask you therefore before God and this congregation, do you present this child earnestly desiring that by this sacrament of baptism she be made a member of the Church of Christ? If this is so, please answer, "I do." Would the congregation please stand? Beloved in the Lord, do you receive this child in Christ's name as we have been received, promising to support her with constant love, wholesome example, Christian teaching, and faithful prayer? Are you willing to accept so great a responsibility? If this is so, please answer, "We are willing, God being our helper."
We are willing, God being our helper.
Thank you. Please be seated. Parents and supporters, I ask you before God and this congregation, do you profess your faith in God, your Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, your teacher and guide? If this is so, please answer, "I do." Will you bring up this child in the knowledge and love of God, teaching her the truths and the duties of the Christian faith. If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. Will you provide a Christian home for her, so fashioning your lives that she may come to know Christ as her Saviour? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. Will you encourage her to seek confirmation that being strengthened in faith by the Holy Spirit and nurtured at the table of the Lord, that she may go forth to serve God faithfully in the world? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. We bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, whose beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has bidden us make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in thy holy name, sanctify with thy Spirit this child now to be baptized according to thy word, through Christ our Lord. Amen. What is the name of this child? Lily Elizabeth Robertson, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and the glorious Head of the Church, here on earth and in heaven, I declare that Lily has now been received into the Holy Christian Church. Please welcome Lily, and we'll come and say hello to you all. Hello, Lily. Look at all those nice people. All your new family. It's her birthday today. Isn't that nice? Hello, everybody. She is, isn't she beautiful? That's Sophie, that's Grant. Hello. That's Adela. Look at all these nice family of yours. Hey? Aren't they all nice? Hello, Lily. That wasn't her crying, not a tear. She's just doing lovely, aren't you? Look at all those nice people, eh? All your nice family. I'm going to give you back in just a second. Lily, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. You want to come back to me? Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I think whilst we are singing the next hymn, the young people who are involved in the play this afternoon, their leaders seem to think they need another rehearsal. I'm sure they don't. We will stand and we will sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 155, Once in Royal David's City. your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you.
you.
Friday, there's a lot of people who work pretty hard down in the basement here, putting together the Christmas hampers for the needy in this area. And at this point, I would like to thank everyone who was involved in that. They did a great job. They did a great job, and there were some great hampers went out to some needy people. And I would also at this juncture ask you to keep in your prayers the recipients of the hampers. Yeah, you don't know who they are, but God knows who they are. And if you just ask Him to watch over them and bless them and bring peace and joy to their homes at Christmas time, and who knows, perhaps those hampers can be a channel of God's blessing to these homes that they went to. But thank you, everyone involved. So shall we now bow our heads and join together in prayer? Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious season of Christmas. It is Christmas all around us, and joy and goodwill abound. Father, we hear the Christmas music as we shop the malls. We merrily join in with familiar carols that proclaim the birth, the miraculous birth of our Saviour. And for a few short days, Lord, the attention of the world is focused on the manger scene, a primitive stable in a small town called Bethlehem, over 2,000 years ago. And in the midst, Lord, of all of our celebrations, we pray that you will help us, Holy Father, to be still and to meditate on the meaning of your coming and to gain a better understanding of something of your purpose of Christmas. Lord, we are filled with amazement and wonder, and we praise and glorify your holy name for your precious Christmas gift to us, the gift of your Son, our Saviour Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to guide us to the realization that this is the gift to the world, the gift that warms the heart, the gift that gives life to the weary and to the sad, and the gift that gives salvation and eternal life to all who will accept this gift. We thank you, Father, for your church throughout the land, and we thank you, Lord, especially for our own church and for our own church family. We ask you, Lord, to bless every home represented here. And we pray, Lord, for those who are not able to be here today. In the silence of our hearts at this time, Father, we whisper the names of those whom we are concerned about at this time, those that we know of who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, those, Lord, whom you have placed upon our hearts to care for, to worry about, to watch out for. And we whisper their names now, Lord, before your throne of grace, knowing that you will hear them. Gracious Father, at this time we would ask you to bless those who care for the homeless at this time, those who have little to eat. We can think of the main ones, Father. We can think of the Salvation Army and the Mustard Seed and the Drop-In Centre, but we know that there are many, many organisations, Lord, that reach out in your precious name. And we pray, Lord, for those whose lives are touched, that you will bless them, Lord, and that you will grant to them food and peace and joy. And now, gracious Father, as we prepare ourselves for a new week, a week, Lord, which is probably going to be a hectic week for many and all of us, but we also realize, Lord, that it is a week of service, a special week, when we celebrate the glorious gift, your glorious gift to us. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us, that our lives may reflect your love, which came down at Christmas. And we ask, gracious Lord, that your light may shine upon our lives, that we may reflect your life, and that we might be light in dark places wherever we go. Lord Jesus, hear our prayers, for we pray in your precious name and for your sake. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. This morning, the word of the Lord is taken firstly from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you, who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled in his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will receive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And the epistle is taken from Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings of the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen."
My thanks to Michelle for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to the glory of God the hymn number 143, "Infant Lowly."
Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle straw, oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swift are winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings bring.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have all heard that old worn out riddle of what came first, the chicken or the egg. Well, you haven't heard it. Yes, you have. And the real answer to that one is the mother. Before there was you, there was your mother. Before there was Billy Graham, there was his mother. Before there was C.S. Lewis, there was his mother. Before there was Mother Teresa, there was her mother. And I can't tell you in detail the part that these women played in the shaping of the lives of their children. But we know that each of them will have played a significant part. They each will have contributed to the character of their offspring, as all mothers do. But their offspring would one day make notable contributions to the world. And before there was Jesus, there was his mother, Mary. And Mary would undoubtedly have played a key role in preparing Jesus for his ministry. So as a title to my message this morning, I chose the word surprise. Twice. Surprise. Because that is what Christmas tends to be all about. Christmas is full of surprises. But not all surprises are nice surprises. We have all experienced those gifts that we would rather not have received. Or those unexpected visitors that we were totally unprepared for. And then, of course, that bit of news that surprised us out of our senses. And that first Christmas long ago brought some pretty amazing surprises. Elizabeth, Mary's much older cousin, who is in fact old enough to be regarded as being way beyond childbearing age, becomes pregnant. Zechariah, Elizabeth's old husband, had a visit from the angel Gabriel. Now there's a surprise. And this angel tells him he's going to be a dad. And he will name him John. And Zechariah is so surprised by this news, and at his age he understandably doesn't believe it. So he gets another surprise. He is struck dumb. And he's told he'll stay that way until it happens. I can kind of visualize an angel reappearing and going, na 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 na. And then we've got Joseph, engaged to be married to a teenage girl. A girl who is no doubt full of talk about her weddings and so on, the wedding, all the other stuff that surrounds it. And then she surprises him with the news that she is pregnant. And you can imagine, but how come we haven't? And then she gives him another surprise and she says it was the Holy Spirit. Now poor Joseph's got a problem here. He's got a big problem. What does he do about it? By law, Mary should be stoned to death. And so this for Joseph wasn't just a surprise, it was a tragedy. And then he gets another surprise. This angel Gabriel turns up again and visits him and tells him it's true. It's all true. And he must marry Mary and he must name the child Jesus. And I guess that first Christmas was the introduction to some surprises to the Jewish people. Surprises that they definitely did not like. Yes, they were looking for their promised Messiah. But he wasn't supposed to be born like this. To insignificant parents in a stable. The Jewish people were looking for a king. An illegitimate child, their king. A carpenter's son, their king. a wandering itinerant preacher, their Messiah, a friend of sinners, their Messiah, someone dying on a cross between two thieves, their King. They had other and greater expectations and their plans as to how God should give them their Messiah King, and this did not fit. And very often, we are the same. We have our own ideas about how God should go about his business. And that bit of the Lord's Prayer which says, "Thy will be done," sometimes we would prefer it if it said, "Thy will be changed to fit what I want done." And on that night that Christ was born, there were shepherds abiding in the fields, and they got a mighty big surprise too. There they were, just keeping their flocks by night, just like any other night, when suddenly an angel, along with a whole host of other angels, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And it says they were afraid. Wow, I'm not surprised. They were afraid. All these angels singing glory to God and the light in the sky. And I think that's a bit of an understatement. They were afraid. These lowly shepherds would not in this world have expected to be the first witnesses to the newborn Son of God, to the Messiah. What a surprise! What a surprise! Christmas was full of surprises. Was then, still is today. And one thing that surprises me is that there are many, many people who are prepared to accept that God, in his mighty power, did create everything, created the whole universe, created everything and everyone in it. And yet many people still struggle with the virgin birth. Even Mary herself asked the angel Gabriel, "How can this be? I am a virgin." And the angel replied words that we should all listen to. "Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God." And that was good enough for Mary. "I am the Lord's servant," she said. "Let it happen as you have said." And Mary, of course, represents the type of person that God can and will use in his service. The type of person who sincerely prays, "Thy will be done." But there seems to be so many around who seem to think that they know better than God. And for these people, God's surprises will frequently be unpleasant surprises. But there were some people in the nativity story who turned up a little bit later who were not surprised at all by Christ's birth. They expected it. They were prepared for it. The wise men came and they brought their gifts for the newborn King of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were the wise men. And they still are the wise. They knew that he was coming. This fact, no doubt, revealed to them by God. And they went searching for the Christ child and they found him. Jesus said, "Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given you. Knock and it will be opened unto you." And they sought him and they found the Christ child. And we all know that Christ is coming. It was revealed to you and I by God. Will we be wise enough to search for him? Jesus said, "Seek and you will find." And the events described in Scripture regarding the birth of Christ, they were real. They actually happened. They are part of history. And in that one unique event in history, so unique that it divided every other event into either before or after his birth, BC or AD, that one unique moment when Almighty God himself became flesh and dwelt among us. BC, before Christ. AD, Anno Domini, being the medieval Latin for in the year of our Lord. And that birth changed the course of history, profoundly impacted the whole human race. A man called Wade Burton tells a story of a man who was on a bus journey from Chicago to Miami. They were having a stopover in Atlanta, and he was sitting at the lunch counter. And a lady came out of the ladies' restroom carrying a tiny little baby. And she asked the man, "Will you hold my baby for me? I left my purse in the restroom." And he took hold of the baby. And as the woman neared the doors of the bus station, she darted out into the crowded street and she disappeared. And that man couldn't believe his eyes. What should he do? What would you do? Should he put the baby down and run in case he got accused of something? Should he look around and try to get somebody to help? What should he do? And when he calmed down, he went to the traveler's aid booth, and these people soon traced the real mother. The woman who had surprised him with the baby was not the baby's mother. She had taken that child and then, praise the Lord, had had second thoughts. The man breathed a big sigh of relief. After all, what was he going to do with this baby? And at this time of the year, in a way, each of us are left in the same situation as that gentleman. We are left with the question, what will we do with the baby? Have we really come to terms with just who this little baby is? This is Emmanuel. This is God, the creator of the whole world, the whole universe of you and I. This is God with us. Will the birth of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings make a significant difference to your Christmas, to your life? And our prayer is that Christ will be born in each of us this Christmas. And for this we say thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymn, we stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 132, Angels We Have Heard on High. Don't forget, there's potluck lunch right following the service. Everyone is welcome. As Kathy said, there's extra soup there, so plenty for everyone. And we have the youth play at 1 o'clock. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.